Bullards Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today, we're in the third week of our sermon series, Double-Edged Reality. The series has been put together as a means of helping us understand that there are two sides, two realms to our existence, the secular and the sacred. The theme title for week one, in the first week, it was Two Cosmic Realms. And last week, week two, we looked at a new creation breaking old foundations. Both of these sermons are on the sermons page of the website, so if you wish, you can have a listen there. Today, the theme is titled A Sacred Temple in an Earthly Land. And I will seek to bring, just talk a little bit around understanding what that means for us. But first, I want to talk about food. So how many of you have ever heard of a restaurant chain called Cosmo? I know there used to be one in Essex, in Romford. There also used to be one, I think, also in Ilford. There used to be one even close to us here, Valley Park in Croydon. But it was taken over by another restaurant chain called JRC Global Buffet. I'm not even sure if it's the same, if it's just a rebrand. JRC Global Buffet. Effectively, they're the same restaurant. And for those of you who don't know them, maybe you're asking, you know, what kind of food do they serve? Well, the answer is almost everything. There's actually another restaurant similar to these. It's called Zaza Bazaar. Zaza Bazaar is in Bristol, and it's actually listed as the largest restaurant in the UK. Other than the fact that it can seat about close to, I think it seats about 800 people, just like the others that I mentioned, JRC and Cosmo, it actually offers cuisine from all sorts of places. So you can have Indian cuisine, Chinese cuisine, English cuisine, Japanese teppanyaki, Thai satay chicken, seafood, rice, potatoes, noodles, chips, chicken wings. I mean, stir-fry stuff, boiled stuff, baked stuff, fried. There's fish, there's lamb, there's pork, duck, and, you know, there's ice cream, cheesecake, marshmallows, and chocolate fountains. And the list goes on. You know, there's fruit, there's all sorts of stuff to eat and drink. And I'm sure some of you are already getting hungry just listening to me talk about those things. So maybe this wasn't the sermon to preach when some people are in self-isolation. In fact, I'm sure somebody listening to this right now has probably just gone to the fridge. So when you walk into any of these restaurants that I've just mentioned, you know, you immediately recognize it is a place with food to eat. The thing about these restaurants is that there's so much food on offer. Some of us in places like this, we walk in, we see all the quantities, we see the myriad of options, and something in our brains tell us, I'm going to try a little bit of everything. Yeah. Well, it certainly happened to me. Come on. Don't pretend you've never thought about that. Come on. So many of us will sometimes think about that. But the truth of it is this. As soon as you get going, as soon as you've had that first plate, it's not very long before you realize you're never going to be able to eat or try everything, you know, that's on offer. Because the truth of it is, some of those food options, they're just not for you. Just not for you. There's so much choice. And even though you're not going to, you know you're not going to sample everything, but you notice that there's so much choice. And whether you want to eat that food or not, you're constantly, I mean, the sights, the sounds, the smells make you constantly aware that the food is there. The food is all around you. And sometimes even looking at all these choices, you suddenly realize what you actually want isn't there. I suppose you could walk into a place like that and suddenly think, well, I could walk in and suddenly think, you know what, I just want some rice and peas with oxtail, you know? Or I just want some jollof rice and a piece of chicken. Oh boy, I'm sure I'm making some people hungry right now. All right, having said all of that, that online listener earlier on that I said went to the fridge, I'm sure you're back now. So let me tell you why I talked about the food. You see, from our text, the city of Corinth in Paul's day was kind of like that, except it wasn't necessarily that there was food everywhere. It's that there were temples everywhere. All sorts of temples dedicated to all sorts of gods. The temple of Aphrodite was very prominent. Aphrodite, you know, one of the goddesses, as it were, was very prominent. It was on the top of the hill. It was overlooking the city. And it wasn't trying to promote, you know, this romanticism and mushiness that we see in modern, you know, modern culture about what went on in that temple. I mean, to be honest, some of the stuff that went on there was untoward stuff with some of the ladies. So this is Corinth, and has been said since the beginning of this sermon series. Jasmine talked about it in week one. I talked about it last week. You know, a lot of stuff was going on in Corinth that was just not godly. A moment ago, I asked about how, I talked about how with all the kind of food that's around you, sometimes it reminds you of what you really should be eating. It sort of reminds you, you see all the choices and it reminds you of what's missing. Well, similarly, if you looked around all these temples in Corinth, there was one temple that was missing. And the temple that was missing is the temple where Christ was worshipped. There was no Christian temple. Particularly because at this point, you know, Christians would often meet in public squares or even they'd meet in homes. There'd be small gatherings of Christians in homes and they would meet through, you know, whatever means they could. I imagine then, you know, someone at this point probably asked Paul, I'm fairly confident, somebody would have asked Paul, you know, how come we don't have our own temples? And that's, to a degree, when you read this text, that's what Paul is addressing here. He's helping the hearers, he's helping the readers of his letter understand that the physical building is not the priority for us as believers in Christ. Let me say this. Having a place for us to gather, that's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. You know, having a place to gather is a good thing, and the gathering is great, but the gathering is eternally second place to the gatherers. The church shouldn't be somewhere we go. The church should be something that we are. You know, God is so amazing. You know, this sermon series was put together by Jasmine. Was put together by Jasmine probably about 2 months ago. Yet, the timing of the particular sermons in these series are so pertinent to what the world is going through right now. You see, with a lot of church buildings shut down, many people, particularly on social media, have criticized, they've slated the actions of church leaders, just criticizing the decisions that have had to be made. In truth, honestly, it was going to be a lose-lose situation, just as it was for me. If I decided, you know, that we as a church would continue meeting, if I decided we were going to keep having our services, I was going to be accused of being reckless. If I chose to close the building as part of our duty to contribute to slowing the coronavirus situation, I would be accused of being faithless. You see, let me say this. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says something in Hebrews 10. I think it's verse 24, verse 25, round about there. He says, let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching, the day of Christ. Now, I agree with this point. I think part of a gathered congregation of believers, I think being in church is an essential element to our growth. I think being in church helps us grow as Christians. However, Paul highlights, and I agree with this, that we don't simply go to church. We are the church. The Holy Spirit, the sacred third person of the Trinity, he has made our lives his dwelling place. The Holy Spirit has made our lives his home. That's what makes us special. That's what makes us valuable. That's what makes us worth something. You know, last week, we looked at an old building in America that was being preserved, and this building was being physically moved from one place, from one location to another. If you remember from the news article, the developers, in that area, they were considering whether to demolish the building. Because they were seeking to build something new where it stood. In the end, the entire building, it's a 140-year-old building, the entire building was moved down the road. And if you remember, as you watched the video, those of you that were here and saw it, it wasn't a building built with wood. I'm sure you probably observed it was built with bricks. With bricks. Now, that building was built by a very skilled, a very famous architect. It was built to last. It was built to withstand the test of time. And with its heritage, with its use, the owner decided that building was worth keeping, decided the building was worth it. Now, on the subject of worth and the issue of worth, do you realize that the worth... Let me say this. We understand the worth of something based on the price that somebody else is willing to pay for it, or that someone is willing to pay for it. So let me give you an example. In 2016, famous painter Claude Monet. Monet had a painting called Mules, and in 2016, this painting sold for... Are you ready? It sold for $81.4 million. Goodness me, one painting. Now, so somebody bought it, 2016, $81.4 million. Yeah. 2.5 years later, in May of last year, May 2019, this person who bought it in 2016 decided to put it up for sale. Now, when it was listed for sale. They put it up there, said it's worth 81.4, although the expectation was that the bidding, would come out higher than that. There'd be more. Well, I can tell you it was much more than that. So, May 2019, the same painting that was sold for 81.4 in 2016, in May 2019... the painting sold for $111 million. That painting is now worth $111 million. You see, Paul doesn't just identify that we are the temple. He goes on to talk about the danger of destroying the temple, being destructive toward the temple. Now, you're probably wondering, he talks about do not destroy the temple, but how do we actually destroy the temple? Well, the truth of it is we can destroy the temple in a number of different ways. And I've split it into three. So we can destroy the temple, spirit, soul, or body. Let me explain. in the context, you know, in that day and age, in that context in which Paul was talking, remember Corinth, as I said earlier on, it had many temples dedicated to many gods. As a result, syncretism is where different religious schools of thoughts are blended, are brought into to play. So syncretism was the order of the day. And when Paul was talking about destroying the temple, some of what he was saying, part of what he was saying was referring to false doctrines coming in to corrupt the teaching, corrupt sound teaching. And one way in which the temple, therefore, is destroyed is when we allow false doctrine to creep into our understanding. When we become syncretistic in our thinking, in our worship of God. Saints of God, let me say this. It's really, really, really important that that doesn't happen. And some of you will know, let me say this, some of you will know what it means to be Berean. The book of Acts, it is in the book of Acts, talks about the Berean Jews. And these people, you know, they searched the scriptures. After Paul had taught them, they went to search the scriptures just to verify what he had said. Make sure it's in the Bible, to learn it for themselves, not just taking it at face value. So to be Berean is, in effect, to be like those people who, after they've heard a sermon, they go, they read the Bible for themselves. They ensure that what they have heard is accurate. You know, someone that I know, who's listening right now, someone I know was actually the first to say to my hearing, don't say God is not speaking to you if your Bible is closed. And so one way in which we, as I said, destroy the temple is by allowing false doctrine in, but we prevent that by being Berean and using the scriptures appropriately. Secondly, regarding soul, we need to be careful. We need to watch what we consume. Now, I'm not talking about what we eat and drink, no. I'm referring to the stories that we choose to be part of, the books we read, the music we listen to, the thoughts that we allow to remain in our minds. We need to watch, be careful, the movies we watch, the jokes that we forward. You know, the list goes on. You know what I'm talking about. As the sermon title reminds us, we are a sacred temple in an earthly land. In John 17, Jesus talks about, his disciples being in the world. And then he goes on to talk about not being of the world. See, there's a distinction. So for example, if I went on holiday to Spain, for example, yes, I may be in Spain. Yes, I may like the cuisine. I may eat the food. I may even speak the language. But I am certainly not Spanish. You see, as children of God, we are of an eternal heritage, a heavenly heritage. We must always strive to ensure that nothing we do is detrimental to our souls. Nothing we do must weigh on our minds or our feelings or our conscience in such a way that it becomes a distraction from our earthly heritage. So now let me talk about the body. And this example comes to mind. You know, a little while ago, somebody asked me, in fact, I think it was last weekend, somebody asked me if smoking is a sin, I think, something along those lines. And honestly, my reference was to this scripture in our text today. It was to this verse as a caution that we should never knowingly do what will cause a destruction to God's temple. So let me illustrate. I eat food, yes. I eat crisps. I eat crisps. I eat cake. I eat chocolate. I don't just eat, of course, I drink. I drink sugary drinks. I drink fizzy drinks. I drink coffee, as you know. Yeah, like decent adult coffee, as I call it. My fancy coffee machine. You know, I drink coffee. I drink these things. Now, all of these things I'm talking about consuming, you know, the crisps, the cake, the sweets, the whatever it may be that I'm consuming, I don't consume any of them to any kind of excess. I don't, because doing so would mean a deterioration of my physical health. And if I'm willfully and continuously neglecting, even destroying this temple, how do I expect to stand before God? You know, as saints, as a Christian, as an emulator of Jesus Christ, my body is the temple of God. And as such, well, it's incumbent on me to take the best possible care of it. Give it the best possible care. And that's what Paul is telling that church in Corinth and this church in Pollard's Hill. He's telling us the very same thing. Care for the whole temple. Care for the whole of yourself, the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. And even though you live in this earthly land, you are a sacred temple. Earlier on, I talked about a building, I talked about a painting, I talked about the price that their owners were willing to pay to keep them. The building was built by a very skilled and famous architect. It was built to last. It was built to withstand the test of time. It was built with its heritage of use, and the owner decided, recognized that it was worth paying the price. It was worth it. The Monet painting was initially valued at one figure, and then in the space of under three years, it had appreciated in value as somebody recognized that it was worth paying $111 million for it. It was worth paying the price. It was worth it. So here's my question to you, child of God. What are you worth? What is your value? What would you pay for you? When you look at your life, what do you see? You see a dilapidated temple. Do you see a building that you think needs to be torn down? Yeah, maybe you've made some mistakes. Perhaps you've made wrong decisions. Perhaps you've taken wrong turns, and no, I'm not talking about your driving. You know, maybe it was a relationship thing. Maybe it was a habit thing or a character thing or a money management thing. Maybe you've done some things that you're not very proud of. Maybe it's none of that. And to you, your life just seems like it's a mess right now. Maybe you feel, you know, you want to get yourself out of this mess, but you just feel unable to get out of the mess that you're in. You don't feel like you're worth very much to yourself, let alone to anybody else. Well, the thing about the building that you are is this. You were created by the most skilled architect that ever existed, God. You were not built with hay, wood, or straw. Saints of God, let me remind you, the origins of your creation are rooted in the very breath of God. You were built to last. You were built to stand the test of time. And just like that person who bought the painting, one day someone decided they would pay a price for you. This person recognized that, you know, even though you had a previous value, you were worth more. You were worth much more. This person decided you weren't just worth much more. You were worth everything. You're not simply a building that needs refurbishment. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the living God. You are his habitation. You're his dwelling place. And that's why Jesus paid for you. He held nothing back. Saints of God, how much are you worth? The answer is everything. Everything. Today, the world, as we have always known it, is changed forever. Well, guess what? You too can be changed forever. You can. So I want to encourage you today. Let God in. Well, let him back in. Let him dwell within you. Let him make your life his home, his temple. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Excuse me. Let him guide you. Let him provide for you. Let him protect you, particularly with what's going on around the world right now. Let him show you the love that you deserved and you still deserve. He created you to dwell in him and he in you, because you are a sacred temple in an earthly land.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.